We're back. The Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity Segments Caregiver Dave segment. All right, I'm excited to welcome the program my co-host, Caregiver Dave. Dave, I'm so excited about our guest. Go ahead and introduce him for us.
We have an icon in 70s television, I would say, Barry Williams. And you might better know him as Greg Brady, because we grew up with him. And I always remember that screen with the nine little boxes. And Barry, which box were you in? Remind me.
I would be, as you're looking at the television, the top right. I've been struggling
right.
to get out
of
that
box
ever since.
Of course. Hey, I am so glad to hear you. What's been going on in your life?
Well, I would hardly know where to begin, but let's start with this. I never thought I'd leave Los Angeles, where I grew up and where I filmed all the television shows that I did. I moved to Branson, Missouri, which is in the middle of America, the Ozark Mountains.
Retirement capital of the world, right?
Well, I think there are people here that come for that. But a lot of vacationers, a lot of tourists come in. We have 100 different shows here, all kinds of music shows, musical variety shows, attractions. It's a resort community.
Yeah, Wayne Newton's still there, right?
Wayne was here for a bit, as were many, many country stars and Vegas stars. And I came here to do just that. Let me put it in these terms: to relive my Johnny Bravo days. That would be
Are you a singer?
A rock show, and yeah, I've been singing my entire life.
Oh, wow.
And not a lot of people know that I spent my adult life in musical theater, some 85 different productions, worked on Broadway and did Broadway national tours, been all over the country multiple times. Some of the great shows ever written, like Music Man and Sound of Music and Oklahoma and, like that. And still working television, and I'm a musician and singer as well.
You know what? You have something in common with Suzanne Summers. You know what that is? After she got fired from Three's Company, her agent says, "Can you sing? I can book you in Vegas." She goes, "Well, yeah, I can sing." And she had a very lucrative singing career, and of course she became an author. So let's start with the Brady Bunch. Let's start with the Brady Bunch. Tell me about the interview process. How did that go? How did you were just in the right place at the right time?
Pretty well. I got the job. It wasn't quite like that. There were hundreds and hundreds of kids that were called.
Yeah.
But at my age, I was when we did the auditions, I was 13 years old. And I've been working for a few years in show business and in television, and I had amassed a few credits from those classic days, like the Mod Squad and Gomer Pyle.
I remember Mod Squad.
Marcus Welby and Mission Impossible. And I had done two shows that were directed by the same director as the Brady Bunch pilot, the first episode, and the first five episodes. That we actually filmed. So that director was a part of the casting process, and I had worked with him in both That Girl with Marlo Thomas and with a Gomer Pyle, Jim Nabors. And so he was familiar with me. The studio was familiar with me. The network was aware of me. And I guess as they did all of the sorting out of who is who and who's going to go with who, I fit the suit. So right age. And
you were bringing in a steady income, it sounds like. You were working.
I was very busy. I had one of the best stereo systems with my JBL speakers and my dual turntable and my component system with a TAC tape recorder and my on the whole block.
Barry, the other Brady kids, were they as experienced as you going into this show? Because again, it's important to have like all the background and experience you had in acting and singing and all those different things going into the show.
Everybody had varying degrees of experience. Michael Lookinland had done two commercials, and I had been, I guess, more active than most of the kids, but they had varying degrees. I wasn't the first one picked by our producer who did the interviews. That would be Susan Olson. He just fell in love with Cindy, who became Cindy Brady. Thought she was perfect for the role.
Yeah, she was a cutie.
Yeah. Well, what a lot of people don't know is we played after those 5 years as a family, but we became a kind of a family. It's been for all of us. My Brady mates and I have maintained our relationships. We still are in touch with one another. We do projects together. We see each other socially, and have shared all of the major events of our lives, good and challenging, like, you know, getting married and having children. And as our parents have passed, and we have, you know, maintained our friendship. So, which has been kind of like what you see is what you get.
Wow. How cool is that? You know, I've heard an interview from your TV father that he really didn't expect it to be a hit. He just expected 1 year and he was going to be out. And he felt trapped when it just kept getting renewed and renewed because he wanted out and they wouldn't let him out, would they?
No, I think it was not because of the kids. He liked and appreciated all of us like his kids. But he was not a fan of the style of humor that was written for our show. So he didn't think the original pilot show, the one that, you know, you have to take to the network and shop to get picked up for a season, he didn't think that would sell. He was quite surprised as it kept going and going, and like the Ever Ready battery.
Yeah, wow. It was a cult following. I mean, I remember even my kids growing up. I mean, it was always on television. I think it still is.
Well, yes, it is. one of the networks that it's never been off television in, it'll be 50 years next year.
Well, I hope you had a good contract. You're getting good residuals.
I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine, living where I want to be and enjoying life, living on the lake and making choices, saying yes and saying no. That's freedom.
That's definitely so, Barry. I wanted to ask about, again, talking about your TV father and stuff. What kind of relationship did you guys have? Did he help you a lot in the acting process and all that?
He did. He was like a mentor for me, and he was classically trained at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London, as well as a college graduate. But he, we would play theater sort of games with the scenes, and like he might play Greg, and I would play, you know, Mike Brady or Peter, you know, different roles, and do speed reads, and, you know, try and change the meaning of a scene, that kind of a thing, that, you know, kind of keep our acting chops stretched so that we could deliver it the way it was intended to be seen, natural.
You know, I was going to ask you, who did you learn the most from, you know, out of the whole family? I would guess it would be Florence Henderson. She was the senior actor, wasn't she?
Well, the two questions there. One is I learned different things from our three major leads, Anne B. Davis, Alice, who was might be considered the most senior.
That's true.
But Robert Reed had a very, very successful series, a dramatic series called The Defenders with an actor, Eugene Marshall, and which won many, many awards. And so he had been acting more, I think, for a longer period of time than Florence, who primarily cut her chops on Broadway and in musicals like Oklahoma and as a singer and cabaret performer. She played Vegas and club dates and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of different backgrounds. I never made that connection with him.
Mm-hmm. I was going to more of that relationship you had, and you talked about the family relationship. You had to do that to keep things going every week, right? And when you film all the time, and especially at that time of period, and really the expectations of the age groups and stuff, that you had to treat it like a family with this many people on that were acting in this show. Wouldn't you agree? Like that process is you're all together so much. Hopefully you get along.
Well, hopefully is right. And indeed, during the filming portions of the year, which was about 6 to 9 months, we spent oftentimes more time together as a television family than we did with our own families. But ironically, it's very, very unusual. If you talk to a half a dozen child stars, about their experiences in the series that they were in. Many of them will say that it was not comfortable and it was not enjoyable. It was a lot of work and oftentimes did not get along with their castmates. Danny Bonaducci, for instance, did not get along well with David Cassidy until after the show. We, on the other hand, did and kind of leaned on one another, and it made the filming seamless, easy for us. And when we started going out on the road and touring as the Brady Six, the musical group, and things like that, which we did a few times, it made things much easier. So I became kind of like the reliable brother, Greg. You know, I'd be protective of the kids and Bobby and Cindy would, you know, need some looking after and that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Did you say the show was on for 5 years or longer?
Five original years. Yeah. 1969 to 1974.
So you started at 14. You must have been having a ball.
Oh, it's great. All my teenage years were spent at Paramount Studios with in Stage 5, filming the show and growing up.
So what did you enjoy most about the character? I mean, was that really you? Was that your personality and your temperament?
Well, yeah. I think it's fair to say that the writers were looking not to create caricatures, but real people. And they wanted the kids to be kids. And the shows and the episodes revolved around very relatable kinds of subjects that most families and most kids growing up encounter, whether it's being jealous of your sister or your ego swelling because you got your picture in the newspaper, or you were traumatized because the dog stole your doll.
Did you ever give the writers some ideas that maybe they weren't aware of, you know, because they aren't your age, obviously. They don't know what kids were doing those days in school or talking about.
Well, sometimes we did. Writers, being the pros that they are, had their own families and sometimes would borrow from those different stages and things. Where we came in, we could help them with the cool dialogue of the day. You know, sometimes they would throw in a far out where a groovy belonged. And, you know, where you needed an out of sight, you know, they might have a cool or something like that.
So did you like, Barry, the fact of the moral of the story and how, again, this relationship that every week there was some sort of moral or something for the entire family to watch the television show and learn from, even though there was kind of a bunch of things that were, you know, the crackpot kind of funny things, but really
idealistic. Yeah. Yes, I did. I appreciate it. I think that's the magic of the formula of the show, and I think that's what's made it relatable now to multiple generations. These kinds of morals and ideals and communication skills that we learned our lessons from inside the episodes are still relevant today. Well, they were relevant before as well, but they're relevant today without being so period specific. Those things that the episodes that were taking us through the different stages of life, if you took away the clothing and the fashion statements that we made with the bell bottoms and headbands, et cetera, you know, are still relevant today.
You know, I'm so glad that you're a normal person, that it didn't ruin you like so many other child actors. You know, you mentioned Danny Bonaducci, and there's just so many others who did not do well. What do you attribute, you know, staying out of trouble too, and staying off drugs and staying, you know, just clean?
Well, not getting caught, of course, helped a lot.
That means you're smart.
I do think there were a lot of stabilizers in our production and the way in which our creator Sherwood Schwartz ran the show and our lives. He let us be kids. He didn't restrict us from being out when we were not filming. For instance, Susan Olsen was allowed to take ice skating lessons or learning to ride a horse, and I went snow skiing and riding motorcycles, and I was surfing, and there weren't restrictions placed on us. Plus, interestingly, none of the parents of the six kids in the show had any divorces in their nuclear families at home.
Wow.
So I think that created some stability. I want to circle back to a minute for just a second here about Danny Bonaducci, who's a friend of mine.
Sure.
And I've worked with.
And we interviewed his ex-wife, so we may only have one side of the story.
You definitely only have one side of the story. You get the rest if you were fortunate enough to interview his current wife, who will do no publicity at all. So it's a tough gig. Yeah. But Danny is more than just a survivor. He has thrived following his television show, in which he was married to his ex-wife. He's currently and has been working in radio for many years, but he has the number one morning drive show in Seattle. He continues to work as an actor. He's very funny and in demand for various events and speaking engagements. He's not drinking, and he stopped smoking as well. So
good for him.
That helped a lot. But
other child actors, in your opinion, really didn't overcome things like Danny. I was about to disagree with Dave on that fact because I knew about his radio success and other things. But yes, he had some rock bottom times, but he overcame addiction, Barry, right? That's where you wouldn't call him that kind of child. Some of these childhood actors that we talk about, like Home Alone or certain things like that, where we really are seeing some sad stories. Yeah.
Macaulay's struggles. I think Dana Plato, obviously struggled. Many don't. There are a lot of pressures involved. I'll tell you what I'm doing though currently, and I'll just kind of tease it because we actually launched this next week. I was hoping it was going to be done by the time we had a chance to chat, but it's still kind of interesting about child stars and what have you, and the kids and people that we grew up with on television. I'm hosting and co-producing a classic TV star cruise with Celebrity Cruise Lines out of Fort Lauderdale, 5 days Western Caribbean. And we're bringing in 12 of the favorite people that we grew up with. So I'll name a few that we have secured and will be a part of our cruise. And people can come on the cruise and we'll get to know everybody and talk to them. And we'll do panels. We're going to do activities together. We're going to do shore activities, et cetera, for 6 days, eating and karaoke and all kinds of fun stuff. We have Jimmy Walker will be on our cruise. We have Jerry Mathers from The Beaver.
Oh, wow.
Going way back to John Provost with Lassie. Kathy Garver, who is Sissy on Family Affair. Judy Norton Taylor from The Waltons. John Schneider, formerly it popped out of my mind. Was it
Dukes of Hazzard? Right.
Dukes. Yes. Formerly of Dukes, and now star of
Dancing with
the Stars. Yeah. Right? He's going to be on board with us, and so we have a great mix of people that are coming on, and that will go out next year. It actually leaves in November of 2019, which is why we're still ramping up and finishing the website, making sure all the operators know how to handle the phone and describe what's going on. So,
all right, fantastic.
That's kind of a thing that's given me a connection to kids and younger people that were on television shows, and like many people have with the Brady Bunch, they've grown up with these different shows, and they'll have a chance to meet them, talk with them, and basically they'll feel like they're all best friends by the time the 6 day cruise is over.
Barry, I've interviewed John a few times. He is an unbelievable guy, really down to earth, really really nice guy, and all the other people, a fantastic opportunity, and you'll have to give us the website at the end for that for sure, Barry. Now, let's talk a little bit about life after the Brady Bunch. We talked about where you are now, which seems fantastic, and people definitely need to come out Branson to see you, Barry, but what was it a hard transition from after the Brady Bunch in your career in any ways?
Yeah. Well, in many ways, it was. There's an awful lot of things going on, and there's a great deal of momentum. And with cancellation, typically networks want to just kind of put actors out to pasture for a while. It's unusual to go from one series to another, with the exception of David Spade. He's like the only guy I know. They just go from one show to another. So there's that element. There's also the growing element. So, you know, everything is kind of taken care of for you. You're spoiled on a set, and adults are kind of bending to you and wanting, you know, to make sure you're comfortable in every possible way. And that all goes away. So you've got to pick it up. What I did, I knew music would be important. I went to New York and I auditioned for the show Pippin, and I won the role against some pretty stiff competition, and did the first touring company as Pippin, and then was invited to join the cast as Pippin in New York on Broadway. And then that started a whole other career for me. And to date, I've done now, 85 different productions of shows all over the country, crisscrossed many, many times. And it's been a great part of my life, and I've recorded. I've been a DJ on radio for Sirius XM, and I wrote a best-selling book that I produced into a TV movie called Growing Up Brady. I've a spokesperson for several different companies, including an ambassador for the classic TV network, MeTV. So that's kind of how, you know, things have evolved until I came here to Branson to do my show, which I'm no longer doing here. So if you come to Branson, there are plenty of shows to see. Mine is not one of them.
So they can knock on your door, Barry, and you'll perform for them?
I have a trio. Instead of a big production show that I did here, the 70s Music Celebration, I have a trio called Barry Williams and the Travelers, two guitars and percussion. And my wife is the lead singer, and I sing, and our guitar player. We go all over the place and do largely familiar standard classic tunes from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and enjoy going out and having fun with that.
Wow, that's awesome, Barry. I think I really it's great to hear how well you talked about the transition was hard, but you really picked everything up. You saw how important your brand was from the Brady Bunch and how it continued mm-hmm. to be on the show. And you used that to capitalize in many different ways. People have to understand whatever your brand is, whatever you're known for, you can use that to open up so many more doors, right? Isn't that true, Barry? Having something that kind of is your calling card in certain ways to
Something that you're proud of helps a lot as well. And I've always appreciated people that have enjoyed the show that I'm best known for, Brady Bunch. But it does lead into other conversations. And I'm grateful now because of all the social platforming. So there are Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts and Facebook accounts. And, of course, a website where I've put everything together. So you've got name and photos and what's going on and clips from the Travelers that you can see. And of course, it will have a link to the Classic TV Stars cruise that I was talking about next week. In fact, why don't I go ahead and give that to you now?
Absolutely. Good time? Yes, that's perfect time, Barry.
I tried to make it as easy as possible. BarryWilliamsOfficial.com. And the reason it's official, because apparently there are other Barry Williamses out here in this country. I can't go figure. And I wanted to sort it out from everybody else. So it's BarryWilliamsOfficial.com, and you can pretty much find everything to bring you up to date and up to speed there. I stay on it and update it all the time.
You are really, and I know that your wife is very, very involved, Barry, in your promotions and keeping you up to date and what's going on. And that's really important, isn't it, Barry, to have a teammate, a partner to help in this whole promotion end when all these different moving parts compared to when you first started in acting and entertainment, how much more there's to do than there was then.
You sound suspiciously like a happily married man, because you're right. There is nothing better than having a partner that you're wed to kind of join forces with and take on the schedules. And if you go to BarryWilliamsOfficial.com, you can see pictures of her too.
Yeah, I wonder, have you ever gone to Steel City Con? I'd never get to cover it, Barry. They don't allow it, but I don't know if you ever went to Steel City in Pittsburgh. That's where I'm at.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's the one in Pittsburgh. Because everyone, I'm sure they want you. I know for a fact that would be a big draw. You would be a huge draw for that. I'm sure you've done the other cons.
I've done some other cons, and I've done a lot of work in a lot of shows at Heinz Hall and the Benedum and in Pittsburgh, and I've really, really good friends there. The last show I did there, I think was The Sound of Music as Captain Grieg. So I will look into that. Is the Steel City Com? Is that is that one of Wizard Worlds?
I don't know for sure, but I will go ahead and reach out to your wife and give her the information to make sure you reach out,
because
I think and then if you do come into town, we're gonna have to do a television interview. That's no doubt about it. If you do, I'm sure you'll
I'd have a ball.
All right, that's great. All right, the last question, Barry, for the show, especially when I am with my co-host caregiver Dave. I do 5 hours of programming a week, but we devote this time, especially he's a fantastic guy, what he's doing out there and going and speaking, but he has a mission, and Barry, it's a great mission. It involves caregiving. Let me tell you the story. You go to caregiverdave.com for more information, but the guy is amazing, Barry, in the fact that what he did, and this is really, really an interesting thing, is that his wife ended up having a severe suffering illness that made her basically have to be dependent on somebody else, and he was a caregiver, and he's spending his entire life now devoted to caregiving and helping other caregivers go through the challenges that they have to go through when they take care of somebody. Either they're going to be a caregiver or someone's going to have to take care of them at one point in their lives. And at caregiverdave.com, it really tells that story, Barry, and he really shows that true passion to help others. And really, you wouldn't believe it. He's on the phone and talking to people and really just trying to give them as many tips as possible, because you know, as I know, how difficult it is if you're even taking care of your kids or if you're taking care of an older loved one, how challenging it is without those resources.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. These are our angels.
Yeah.
Angels that can do that and give them give of themselves selflessly like that. So does he have a question that goes along with that?
Yeah, so his question is, have you ever been a caregiver, Barry? To your parents or anything?
I have. Yeah. I lost my mother, loss, I don't know if that's the right words. She transitioned. She passed away in April of last year. So
I'm
just
sorry,
a little over
that.
A year
yes.
ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful that in toward the final part of her life, I was able to be with her on a regular basis. And she still had her faculties. She was around. She was cognizant and could speak and wasn't really taken down by an illness until, you know, finally she just, you know, the clock started slowing down. So it was a very rewarding experience for me and a loving experience for me.
Well, Barry, that's great. I'm glad that you were able to tell that story and you see the importance of caregiving. And that's one of my missions working with Dave on this show and bringing the word out that guess what? You're not alone. I see this all the time when I was a school teacher, Barry, and the older teachers were taking care of their parents. And that's what happens to all of us. After our kids grow up, then we take care of our parents. And we have to understand the resources and the challenges that are out there. And someone like Dave dedicates his life to that. So, well, thanks again for calling, Barry. Best of luck in your ventures. And I will definitely try to reach out to Steel City Con and tell your wife, let's get you out to Pittsburgh for sure to see these great people here. Because it's one of the best cons out there is Steel City Con, in my opinion, with how ravenous these fans are in Pittsburgh that I'm sure are huge fans of yours. So thanks
again.
I'd love
to be a part of it.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right, Barry.
Great talking with you.
Good talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
And you.
See you. Bye-bye. You listen to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.